We pray a lot about things like, well, God, would you anoint this, or God, would you bless this? And in all seriousness, if we're not walking engaged with the Lord in the process, we've missed the whole boat, and we don't want to miss the boat. I know that I'm going to pray. Don't mean for it to be vain. Don't mean for it to be too repetitious. But I'm going to pray that God anoints the word that He's got for us. Whether or not that's what I preach, pray that He anoints our hearts to receive, our heads to understand, and really gives us the ability to apply. This is not a college lecture hall. This is not a high school classroom. It's not even a first grade classroom. But what it is an opportunity for us to engage with the living God. Corporately, because you certainly have the opportunity to do that individually, all the time, wherever you are. Before we truly start today, I just want to paint a little bad picture for you. Just think about the world in which you live right now. And there you go, smiling already, man. I don't know. I find it interesting that the president has deployed several nuclear subs to the close water border of Russia. And that's based on some of the actions that Putin has taken with its army in regard to the Ukraine. I would note that we had a bunch of friends in Missouri reach out to us when there's an 8.8 on the Richter scale on the eastern shore of Russia. And I have to explain to them, well, just so you know, that's 16 to 1700 miles away from us. And they have trouble with distances. People down south, generally speaking, do not understand how massive Alaska is. It's a long way from Ketchikan to Barrow. That's a long way. I give people, this is, they'll ask me, well, we have friends in Nome. Do you know them? And I go, well, we have friends in Portland. Do you know them? Well, no, that's pretty far away. So I want you to look. We have a world situation that's a little uncomfortable right now. And what does the Bible say about there? Rumors of wars. Okay, rumors of wars. Wars. Wars can happen. Earthquakes, pestilence, tornadoes, forest fires, wildfires. Okay, so we're living life. Are you living it expectantly? I live two ways on this expectantly. One is just trying to keep my lamp full of oil, the wick trimmed and burning brightly. I live with anticipation for the Lord's return, be it today or be it 10,000 years. We should live the same way. If you're not thinking that God, and I'm prepared for the God to come back now, then you've missed that boat. So keep yourself full up of that oil of the Holy Spirit. Keep your wick trimmed. Be sharp. Be discerning. Pay attention to what God's doing and be ready. Well, let's bow our heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you, God. Father, I ask you to open our spiritual ears and our physical ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. And God, give us a will to obey. Help us to be followers of you in truth. God, prepare us for right now and for what's to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're back in James again, as you saw from the initial scripture that Yuming read to us. Interestingly enough, I'm going to quote the other scripture he read to us as well as we go through this. In James, some people look at it as a conflict with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that maybe it's something that we do that saves us. That's not what James is saying at all. The fact is that we're saved through faith by his grace. It's all on him and his shed blood. What James is saying is what Jesus said in the sense of John 14, 15. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I say. You demonstrate your love for your Savior by just walking in obedience. This isn't complex. Christianity is not complex. The difficulty is your flesh. The difficulty is believing. The difficulty is acting upon that belief. The last part of James, the first chapter, which is not today, it says you need to be doers of the word. You need to apply these things to your life. You need to walk in a way that honors the Lord Jesus and keeps you useful to his kingdom. What's your role in all of this? Love the Lord your God with your whole being, body, soul, and spirit, will, and intellect, and emotions. Love your neighbor as yourself. And beloved, let us love one another, because they're going to know we're Christians, not because you have a really good bald spot. Maybe yours is better. But I noticed our Josiah, not you, but our son John, I noticed has a growing bald spot back here and growing ones along here. What a blessing. Your genetics are wonderful. Oh, I should remind you of that. Genetics are wonderful when you're sitting by your pop, you know. But they'll know that we're Christians by our love. So, how are you demonstrating that love? The love for the Lord and the love for your brothers and sisters right here. Okay. Not the message, part of the message. James chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 7. No, take that back. 9, verse 9. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. Just to hold on to the thought. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises, the grass withers, the little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. You know, we talk about legacies. What's your legacy going to be? And I'm going to tell you, here's the important rule. This is it. In two generations, the likelihood of you being remembered for anything important is negligible. Negligible. They're not going to remember Greg White from Adam Ant. And if you're not old enough to know who Adam Ant was, you're just way too young. The fact that you have a legacy, though, if there was one thing, somebody asked me one time on my 12 years of sheriffing, they said, "What do you want to be remembered for?" I said, "I want to be remembered for that guy. What was his name?" But anyway, he loved Jesus. I want people to know that I love Jesus, because that's a standing that we can live on and we can die on. I know where I'm going. Do you know where you're going? When you die, do you know where you're going? Beyond a shadow of a doubt. And if you say yes, then do you have fear of death? And then why? We know where we're going. As a Christian, if I die right now, and I was thinking about that this week. We were out walking up on Mount Roberts, and I'm thinking, you know, this is one of those trails. We're going up to the Father Brown Cross, and we're hiking along, and it's, what's that? We're hot. It's hot. And there's black flies, and I'm thinking, I'm almost 73 years old. I'm a guy. This is perfect heart attack weather. And I'm, you know, we're going uphill, and I didn't notice anybody else slowing down. So, well, I can't slow down. So I'm huffing along, and I'm sitting there. You know, what happens? Because if I have a heart attack right now, and if I go into cardiac arrest right now, the statistics on a 72, almost 73-year-old being revived by CPR with no AED, with no definitive drug therapy, is not very high. And I know how long it's going to take a helicopter to get to me, and I'm called dead in the dirt by the time the helicopter gets here. And so I'm sitting there thinking about this scripture, about these flowers that are wilt in the sun. Good heavens. Some of you all have been in Alaska for like forever. Some of you were born here, but still shorter than some other, anyway. And I'm thinking, so what's my legacy? First of all, the only thing that you can do of any importance is you can honor the Lord Jesus and build his kingdom, help building the kingdom. That's all. So maybe we should put more effort that direction. It doesn't matter how cute you are or how not cute you are. It just matters. Did you live your life that honored Jesus? And when you look at this, it seems like the wealthy have a hard time living a life to honor the Lord. Now, there's some people I could pick on, like J.C. Penney, who did live an honorable before the Lord life. And he was wealthy. But for your average, very rich person, what do? Well, you try to find ways to entertain yourselves. We've got friends that do cruises 6 months a year. And I don't want to do cruise 1 month a year. I don't like the concept. It's okay for the rest of you. It's just not my thing. The ferry system's good. I like the ferry. And I could go into my tirade on why I don't like cruise ships. But the whole thing comes down to this: what are you doing in what you do to honor Jesus? And if you're rich and you pour that wealth into the kingdom, I'd say you made a good investment. If you pour that wealth into making yourself happy, I think you missed the boat. Well, by the way, what happens if you're in Juneau and you don't get back and the ferry takes off? They don't wait. Don't wait too long to make peace with God. Don't make too long. Or maybe you're that rich person that's not going to be happy. Verse 12, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those that love him. That crown of life's kind of interesting. I don't want you to think about it like a King Charles, Queen Elizabeth crown that they don't wear much because they're really heavy, and it's got all this stuff on it. It's good metals, jewels. That's not the crown we're talking about. The crown of life is like a laurel that an athlete would run, who's ran a great race, would get on their head. It's not like you're the king of something. It's just you ran your race and you get the laurel that goes with it. Have you run your race? Are you running your race? Are you doing what God has called you to do? Are you doing those things? Because there are temptations. Again, going back to 12, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation, and afterwards they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those that love him. And remember, when you're being tempted, do not say, God's tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So this temptation gig, this is one of those other career things. I've experienced some really strange things as a cop. Just a couple months after I came to Christ, I've shared with you that there was a guy that was jumping up and down on cars, and we arrested him, and the fight was on. And I'm a baton guy. Used to teach kendo, Japanese fencing, and I will tell you that when I came across his shin as hard as I could swing, and he didn't flinch, my thought was PCP. And he wasn't a big guy, he was a small guy. Hard to stop. Finally did, and I confess to you, I choked him unconscious. Judo has some good attributes. But we get him to the hospital, and going to the hospital was terrible. At that time, I weighed 280 and with full gear, closer to 300. And I was in the back seat. I had him hobbled, means his feet were tied and he was cuffed behind his back and was in sitka. And I was planked. I wasn't putting any weight on him, but I was planked over him. He was screaming and cursing, and which is different than blaspheming because he was doing that too. And then he starts doing the worm, like the dance. And the guy, me, was being slammed into the ceiling. That's unbelievable strength for a little guy. And we get to the hospital and we get him in and we get him tied to the hospital exam table. We've got him handcuffed on both sides. We've got leather restraints on both sides, leather restraints on both ankles. We've got a leather strap across his waist, just above his knees, and just below the diaphragm. so loud. We hold him enough where the nurse can get a blood draw. And then she and the other officer go out and they're doing their thing. And this guy starts doing like sit-ups inhumanly fast. And he stops halfway down. It's hard to stop. It's hard to stop, but it's hard to stop halfway down. And his eyes roll back in his head. So I'm looking at just the whites of his eyes. And he rolls his head over at me and he starts telling me things about me that nobody in Alaska knows. And he does it in five different voices. And then there's a couple other, two or three other voices that sounded, I speak some Japanese and a teeny tiny amount of Cantonese and a couple words in Thai and a few other things sounded Asian, not one that I knew anything about. So I'm freaked out. I'm a 2-month-old Christian. I've backed up against the wall. I've unsnapped my holster and I'm thinking, six rounds, 158 grain jacket, hollow point, 357 through the cranium. Walk out of this place alive, but he may not. And I'm honestly scared. And I did the smartest thing I've ever done. I said, God, what do I do? Just softer than that. And that still small voice of the Holy Spirit said, tell him, be quiet in my name. And I said, shut up in Jesus' name. And he goes, so I was a little freaked out. I'd like to tell you this guy got set free, but I don't know anything. I just know that from then on, he would do whatever I said without question and did not want to disagree. And I remember the next morning when I went over to my pastor's house early, just after work, and asked and told him what happened. He starts laughing and gagging on the cereal that he's eating. And I go, you know, Bob Benton, this may seem funny to you, but it's not the least bit funny to me. And he gets his milk down and his cereal out of his mouth, and he goes, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And I go, what does that mean? And he goes, greater is Jesus in you than whatever was in him. Whatever's in him is terrified, not of you, but of who's in you. Okay, do you see the difference there? Christ in you is really the hope of glory, even in practical terms. So I got something out of this. And I will tell you that guy was bonded out, don't know by whom, the next day, and we never saw him again. Never saw him again. Oh, his drug screen came back. He had less than 2 ounces of beer in his system, which cannot affect your judgment, and no other drugs. Okay, so if you want to use the word demon thing, that's what you should use there. But you know, this doesn't talk about that. It doesn't say the devil made me do it because it's not the devil that makes you do it. What it says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. The old farmer, only showed this one once. The old farmer took his dogs to town to fight every Sunday, and the one guy kept watching him. Sometimes it's dog A, sometimes it's dog B, but he always knows which one's going to win the fight. And they're like the same litter, same pups type thing. And so he went to the farmer and said, farmer, what's the deal? How do you know which dog's going to win? He goes, it's easy. It's the one I feed. Who are you feeding in your life? Who are you feeding? This is the work you've got here. Temptation will come, and it's your flesh. Your flesh, it will be drawn off by desires that are not of God, and you have to choose. Do you feed that or do you feed the Spirit? Which do you feed? Because it's a big deal. Now, you know, obviously, I have been there and done that as it regards to seeing activity of the enemy. But I'm going to tell you where I'm at on this. The other day, I was walking through the woods and through some of the brush down here, and I got tickled. I was so excited because in Missouri, I would be really concerned about what are those things that crawl on there? Oh, snakes. And Missouri has pit vipers, copperheads, water moccasin, rattlesnakes, mostly copperheads. Are you going to die from the copperhead bite? Maybe, most likely not. Most likely not, but maybe. But you're going to really hurt and you're really going to be sick. And it's not something anybody goes, oh, look, a snake, let it bite me. You don't do that. You're aware of them and you try to avoid them. And honestly, if it was in my yard and we had, when we, they were, when Josiah was appreciably younger, I had this rule, if you're a poisonous snake and you're in my yard, your head goes separate from your body. In fact, then I would wrap their heads up and bury them separate because the poison's still in there, the venom. So they would die. That's just something I would do. Missouri Conservation does not like that, but they're wrong. But the other critter that we have is we'd walk along, and when you come out of the brush, you start to do things like check for ticks. You know, ticks carry a thing called, some ticks carry a thing called Lyme disease, and once you get it, you're going to pay for it for the rest of your life. I have a really good friend that loves salmon, and he loves salmon because it's one of the very few meats that he can eat and not be sickened by it because of the Lyme disease. Other than that, he's pretty much a vegan at this point by necessity. So you look for them. So you take off your clothes, you start examining yourselves. Sometimes they're seed ticks, baby. Sometimes there's bigger ticks, but you want to get them off immediately. Does this stop you from going in the woods? Nope. Does it stop you from walking through your flower garden? Nope. You're just aware that you might pick up a tick, and if you do, you remove the tick. And honestly, that's the way I look at a lot of warfare praying. I will tell you that I've noted something. If you're walking in Christ Jesus, it's not you. They're terrified. You. They're terrified of who is in you. So you just take care of the problem and you move forward. Tick, I pull it out. If there's a red spot, I take alcohol and wipe on it. If Evie said, would you look and see if I've got a tick back here? And there is, then we pull the tick and we put a little alcohol on it. And if it's got a big red ring, we watch it. And if it goes bad, you go to the hospital. If it doesn't, you're okay. It's a simple thing. It's not a big deal. Don't let it be a big deal. The big deal is you. The big deal is you. And that's where temptation will take you. How do you combat this? You choose. You choose. If you're walking in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you have the ability to know what's of God versus what's not of God. It's called a gift. It's called discernment. Everybody's got some discernment. Some people have a lot of discernment, but the discernment tells you this is of God, this is not. So we do what's not of God, and no, wait a minute. We do what's of God. That's the deal. And don't let, this is where your flesh comes into it, and this is where the enemy's temptation comes. Did God really say number one sin? Right? Right there. Did God really say, isn't that what isn't that what the serpent said to Eve? So you got choices to make. You got choices to make. And I'm going to tell you, it's on you. It's on you. Greg and Evie can't be there to hold your hand all the time. We just can't. Yiming, Carrie can't be there all the time to hold your hand. Besides, if we're holding somebody's hand, who's holding our hand? You know, the fact is that it's you. Temptation comes from our own desires and entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be less misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Here's the deal. There's going to come a point when you stand before the throne of, you're going to be looking at Jesus, and what you want to hear from his mouth is, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. So, you want to know how to keep your lamp full of oil and your wick trimmed? Be in a position that if it's, this is the moment that you go home, is the thing that you hear from his mouth, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or you're there by the skin of your teeth. And I've never seen skin on my teeth, but I imagine it's pretty thin. You don't want to be there. You want to be there, but you want to have that laurel that says it's a crown of life. You want him to be pleased. And good heavens, all of us are poor in the sense of time. I remember my Aunt May at 96, 97. She's going, I've lived too long. I don't have any friends left. All the people that I knew and was close to are long dead. And she goes, maybe I can die soon. Wasn't that a great thing to say? Woohoo, maybe I can die soon. Yeah, you all want to do that, right? Today's a good day. Well, today is a good day. The other side of it, my Aunt May lived to 104 and a half. And the only friends that she saw were family. Were family. She would go down to the family farm in Arkansas and take her sister Valda before Valda, her younger sister Valda before Valda died. And I loved going down. And the last time I did, I had them for a week all by myself. And then the next week, Evie and my mom came down. But for that week, what did we do? We talked. We hugged. I cooked. That's not always a blessing. They ate. And we sat on the porch and we talked about days long past. And I'll tell you, I love those memories. But May was right. She'd lived long enough that she had no friends left. So, how much time do you need? So, when a person dies and they're young, we go, oh, there was so much life they missed. Are you kidding me? Life on the other side is the real thing. This is the small stuff right now. And we're addicted to the small stuff because it's all we know. So, don't do the things that honor your flesh. Die to that. Do the things that honor the Lord Jesus. Do it. It's just a choice. If you pick up a tick along the way, pick it off. If you need help, come see. We'll help. We don't mind picking ticks. Done it for Evie many times. She's done it for me many times. That's the physical ones. We've done the spiritual ones too. It's not a complex thing. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's not only a big deal, it's a for real deal. This life with Christ is not a joke. This is the real thing. Have you ever looked in the faces of people that are just walking in Christ? Just walking. Doesn't mean you never mess up. No. And Lizzie, if I was going to pick on you, I'd say, when I look in your eyes, I just see Jesus. It's just a real thing. What a blessing. And I hope that we can figure out how to love each other so people will know that we're Christians. You know what love breeds? Life. Breeds more love too, but it breeds life. I'm going to end with a few verses here, and then we'll switch to the Lord's Supper. But I'll read it. I told you, this isn't hard stuff. At least it's not complicated. Micah chapter 6, starting in verse 6. What can we bring to the Lord? Should we bring him burnt offerings? Should we bow before God Most High with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins?
Okay, here's the answer. No.
O people, the Lord has told you what's good, and this is what he requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Okay, this is what you do between you and the Lord. This is what you do. You do what's right. You do what's right. You love mercy and you walk humbly with your God. This is what you do with your spouse. You do what's right. You love mercy and you walk humbly with your God. This is what you do with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You do what is right. You love mercy and you walk humbly with your God. This is the way that you love your neighbor as yourself. You do what's right, you love mercy, and you walk humbly with your God. You want to know how to do what's right? If you don't know, asking. I remember 27 coming to Christ and thinking, just the one point, do Christians date? Now, I should take that back. What does God want us to do? Because I can tell you, I can look around the room and I can tell you there's a lot of things we do. Well, what's right? So I would ask, I would spend time with God and go, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, do Christians date? The answer was yes, by the way. And but then, well, how I know how to behave as not a Christian. How should I behave as a Christian? Well, ask. I did, and he would tell me. Because I learned that spending time with someone was more than being in the same room with them. It was a depth of relationship that was important. Pat made the statement 3 weeks ago about, do you ever wonder how many people come in and are really engaged or just observing? I don't know. I don't know. I look at all these faces in the room, and some of that I just met today, you know, some a couple times now. And you go, what's the one thing that's in common? Okay, here it is. You're all pretty. You ever consider yourself pretty, brother? That's a good term. You're pretty. Is he pretty? Okay. He thinks you're prettier, though. At least he better. But you're pretty. And then there's that thing that you can do to enhance beauty beyond measure. Are you walking hand in hand with the Lord? Is it sweet to hold hands with Jesus? You know, there's a song that almost got, there was an effort to remove it from the Baptist hymnals in the garden. There was an effort to remove In the Garden from the Baptist hymnals back in the early 90s. And do you know why? Because it was not fair. It says that you walk with him and you talk with him. And they go, well, what about the rest of the people? Well, folks, it's a choice. Do you think that God's not big enough to talk with each one of us individually simultaneously? Amen to that. That's right. And I'm going to tell you, this is an individual and corporate walk that we've got with him. This is where you walk hiking out to the on the Nugget Trail to the waterfall at the glacier. And you're walking with Josiah. I'm walking with Josiah and Evie, but I'm also walking just me and God everywhere. This is the way it's supposed to be. You cannot, no one can isolate you from the Lord. No one. You can isolate yourself by your behavior. He still loves you. He still paid for your sin. But don't give in to your flesh. Seek what's right and follow it. Walk in love. And you know, here's a big one. You know how to walk in peace? Because we talk about peace. We talk about shalom. Remember what that word really, that peace really breaks down to? It breaks down to the destruction of the authority of chaos. So Can you imagine chaos being put in order as a bad thing? Wow. Love Jesus and do what he says. That's what it comes down to. John 14, 15. It's a very simple thing. John 14, 15. Jesus speaking, if you love me, you'll do what I say. Not complex at all. We're about to be prepared to do the Lord's Supper. And Harold, if you and whoever else is coming up, Yuming, is that you? To do the Lord's Supper. I'm going to do it from the book of John today, which it doesn't matter where we do it. But I'm going to talk about a little bit about what Paul says. And Yuming talked about it at the beginning, but I'll reinforce it to you. This is so simple. Paul said that the Lord revealed to him that there's people that are sick because they took the Lord's Supper when they shouldn't. Now, that's not complex. If you're walking in sin, then stop and confess it to God. And if you go back to it, it's like a dog returning to its vomit. And it just grosses me out when a dog throws up and goes right back and eats its puke. That's what it's like going back to your sin. Don't do it. But have your heart right before God. And if there's anyone in this room that you've offended, just go to them and make it right. It's not too bad. I remember sitting in my old seat in the old days, which is pew two, center from the platform left, from the pew right. And I remember having to get up before the Lord's Supper and going back and making a long distance call to Elmer Stockman, who nobody knows but me, and he's dead now. He was a bit of a drunk, but he was the construction manager that built two houses for my parents. And at one of them, I had to go talk to him, and I got him on the phone. I said, Elmer? And he goes, yes. And I go, this is Greg White, Carl and Lois's son. He goes, yeah, Greg. His son Mike and I were good friends. I said, when you built the house out on Indian Meadow Drive? And he goes, yeah, that was a nice house right next to mine. And I go, yeah. And I go, I just need to tell you that I did something wrong, and I need to make it right with you. So I stole something, and I want to pay for it. And he goes, what did you steal? And I said, oh, a ball of twine. And he starts laughing at me. And he said, no, you can't buy that from me. And I go, well, would you forgive me for stealing? And he's laughing. And he goes, yeah, forgive you. We lose more than that just in the dirt. And I go, yeah, but brother, God spoke to my heart and said I needed to be right with you. So there used to be a phone back there, and we made the call, and he forgave me, and I came back in and partake of the Lord's Supper. It's okay to get up and move if you need to. But don't blow it. There's truth to this. If it wasn't true, God wouldn't have said it. Boy, that was a simple statement. In the book of John, I need to get to where I'm supposed to be. Oops. I apologize. Luke, we're doing this in Luke. The scripture reads, I'm going to read through the scripture and then we'll execute on this. Well, before I do that, I need to tell you again, we have an open Lord's Supper, which means you don't have to be a member of this church. What you need to be a member of is the kingdom. You need to have Jesus in your heart. If you have Jesus in your heart, and when we pray in a minute, if God does not convict you of any sin, then I have to assume that you're right with God and you're free to partake of the Lord's Supper with us. We'll pass the bread first and we'll hold it and we'll all eat together. And the same thing following with the Welch's grape juice because we're Baptist. I get tickled. It's not like that much wine would kill any of us. But I do get tickled by it. But make sure your heart is right before God. That's the big deal. And the scripture from Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 19, said, He, Jesus, took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. So, Yuming, if you would pray for the bread, and then you and Harold would break it and pass it.
Father, once again, we remind you of the cost of our salvation. It cost you your own son. Father, we are ever grateful to you for that life that's given on behalf of us. Pray that you would renew within us real our first love, but that we'd be obedient to you to do the things that you would want us. Thank you for the symbol of your broken body. We give you the praise for it in your son's name, for his sake.
And Jesus said, "Take, eat. And Harold, if you'd pray for the juice." And Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Let's drink together. Tonight, 6 o'clock, Brother Greg will be here to share with us. You're ready, brother, right? Amen. I see it already. It was written all over him when he came up. And hopefully he won't be limping by then. We'll see what happens. Next Sunday is Joanna's last Sunday before college. And at the end of service, we're going to send her out, which means we're going to set her down up here. She asked that we not use a gallon of oil. Maybe just a dot will do. Anoint and lay on hands and send her forth. And I asked her, I said, well, would you like a little coffee and cake reception or nothing or a meal? She goes, I'll take the meal. I know, I was shocked too. Closing word for everyone, followed by song. Jesus said, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. What he says stays. Let's bow our heads. Father God, in Jesus' name, we stand and set before you. Lord, you see us all the way through. What you see is truth. What you say is truth. God, lead us, guide us, help us to walk in a way that honors you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Seek ye first the kingdom.